Well, greetings, saints, and ain'ts too. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to give wisdom today. Lead us in this prayer warfare against the enemy. Lord, we know we're going to be victorious. You have already told us so. We thank you for this victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to share this with you. We called it, "The Faction Tries to Kill David." Kind of fits with the last broadcast, doesn't it? This is given to William Steenland on February the 20th of this 2019. I had a dream that a factious man sent me to work on a floor at a job site deep in the woods. And when I got there, it was a large mechanic garage. Everyone there had a very weird demeanor. I knew they were in a cult and had the same mind about everything. That's true when with demons. They make sure that they're in agreement. Three of them had a huge problem with me. And, well, let me say that just a few days ago, I was threatened by a factious leader, I would call him, although he's not a leader of much of anything. But he's a faction leader. And he was like he was prophesying judgment against me, you know. But I know this guy, and he was acting like it was a prophetic thing, which he does to make himself look like a prophet when it's his own plan. And he thinks he can bring it to pass, which he can't. So Bill said, "I told them, look, guys, I'm sorry. I'll do anything to make it right with you. Every time they spoke, I couldn't understand them. I knew what they were getting at, but it didn't make sense." Well, nothing the factious do or say makes sense. They are always guilty of the thing they accuse others of. That's what that demon does. Always. It's kind of like the way they accuse Trump of all this crookedness, which they have done. Even the Russian conspiracy garbage, that was them. So that's what they do. It doesn't make sense. No common sense. And it's the same way, of course, with President Trump. I couldn't make out the words that they were speaking. Well, the vehicles, I believe, represent people who they are trying to make like them. And they do that through slander. There were doors that were open for vehicles to come into the building. Suddenly, they were blocked by big diesel trucks. I told the main guy, "Hey, you have to move your truck. I'm leaving." He didn't want to, but I told him again, "Move your truck now." And in the dream, I knew they wanted to fight or kill me or destroy my truck. And I thought that the name of this factious fellow can get someone else down here. In other words, to do the job. And he moved the truck, and I left. You know, I've had 5 threats from factious people to destroy me in the last month. And some of them are from the other side of the earth, even. It's like they're stirred up, you know. They don't like what we do. They don't like the truth. You know, the factious Jews wanted to kill all the prophets because they did want to hear the truth. And that's the way it is today. Nothing has changed. So, you know what I say about this? Well, I must be doing something right, so I'm going to be very happy about that. You know, when wicked people come against you, you're doing something right. So I'm going to be happy about that. As I was leaving, I got a bunch of strange looks from people that were all sitting alongside this wall. And I realized they were all not bright at all. I don't mean this to be mean, but they were dumbed down and not intelligent at all, like blank and confused. Well, people that are infected with factious and witchcraft are always this way. We call them the stupid demons for a very good reason, not because they're stupid, but they make people stupid. I felt bad for them. It was like they didn't make up their own minds for themselves, but were followers in nature. Yes, that's true. Most of them are this way. They believe and follow the leaders who are controlled by principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So they're really no match for the Lord and his angels, because he knows what's going on before they get there, right? Which we've already warned you that they're planning an attack and that it's going to fail. And, you know, Bill reiterated, he said, I really don't say this to be mean. This is how it was in the dream. Yes, we understand, because we've dealt with the same exact situation. I left and was driving down the road to leave, and suddenly there was a very mad young man behind me with a gun, and he was cursing me. That's interesting, because not too long ago, a brother who had been infected through slander, who we had done nothing but good to, had a gun, and he was running around saying that he was going to kill David. But the people around him institutionalized him, and that was the end of that. And Bill said, he said, "Get out of my way," and pulled over to the left. He hit a buzzer and a door opened to a freaky compound in the woods. Well, they have to hide all of their evil works, because they know that they're illegal and unacceptable to even lost people. So they hide. The devils hide. The Lord gave me a vision of what was happening inside this angry young man with a gun, and a dog walked up to this corpse. It was a young man who had been dead for days. He had been shot to death. And the Lord was very, very sad about it. And this angry young man shot this dead body and cursed him again and again. That's real hatred, isn't it? That's real demonic hatred. Yeah. I drove off and the dream changed. All the people from the garage had assembled themselves on a truck with a trailer attached to it that was like a hayride. There was a man who I did not know on the hood of this truck with a gun. I knew he wanted to kill David. He was laughing. I knew they wanted more people to get on this on the ride. In other words, they're trying to gather people together to kill David, right? But I also knew that primarily he just wanted to kill David. And send me to heaven? Wow, how kind can you be? Heaven is so good. And Bill said, "I bind those people and their demons." When I woke up, I was having a cup of tea when the Lord said that a factious attack is imminent. Yes, I believe we already been told that. That's true. Thank you, Bill. And he said it three times. The Lord gave me a prayer for everyone to confess that they cannot be shot at and that this would protect them greatly, meaning by those spirits in the people. Amen. Yes, and well, Father, we just pray your protection over all of your people who are righteous, that all of this factious attack, whoever it's against, I'm sure it's against me for sure, but it's against anybody that they can convince of it because it will ruin their life. So we pray for them that they will not be shot. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, that you protect everybody. The last revelation you gave us, Lord, was that they were going to attempt to kill me and the people around me, but he would meet with his doom, that is the leader, and I'm guessing the people that were with him. So thank you, Father, for protecting your people. And Bill said, divine protection be upon you, David. God didn't bring you this far to let something happen to you. Amen. I agree, Bill. And I have peace about it all, he said. And me too, Bill. In fact, I have angels all around me. He's shown me that, spoken it to me, to protect me in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for that. It was very interesting that just 2 days ago, we received all of this in our morning prayer meeting through the words that we got and about the destruction of the wicked who are doing this. Let me read some of these to you. This is all in one morning meeting. Deb got Isaiah 40 and 21 through 23. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Oh, men have so many ideas about what they're going to do and follow their spirit of anger and bitterness, like Esau against his brother. They have so many ideas of what they're going to do, but they don't understand. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. It's he that sitteth above the circle of the earth. And they are grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, and bringeth princes to nothing, that maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Amen, Lord, you have no equal. So true. And then Eve got this. She asked, please, Lord, give us a word for us this morning. And like I said, that was 2 days ago. And the word was vengeance that she got in this text. That was the motorcycle rider that, he is known for. I found this out after I got off of the broadcast, but that's what he was all about, is vengeance. Yeah, like Esau, he was all about vengeance. So this is Jeremiah 11, 15 through 23. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? And when thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. Yeah, they do. They think it's so wise of them. They think it is of God that they kill people. Slander and kill people. No verse can convict them of sin. They're taken over. So, the Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. He is going to take them down. For the Lord of hosts who planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee because of the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have wrought for themselves in provoking me to anger by offering incense unto Baal, who is a false Jesus, right? Their Jesus is very vindictive. Yeah, because that's a demon. And the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I knew it. Then thou showest me their doings. Yes, he's been doing this all along. He's been showing us their doings. We have so many dreams. It's just unbelievable, really. And about their sins, about what they're doing. And even they have confessed horrendous sins and been very proud of it. It's amazing. I'll give you a code word here. Mustard. That's for somebody. But I was like a gentle lamb that is led to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Yep, that's their plan. verse 20. But O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who triest the heart and the mind, I shall see thy vengeance on them. Well, that's exactly who the Bible says is going to take care of them, the Lord, as he returns in his man-child body. In the end of Isaiah 62, he tells you very plainly who is going to have the vengeance on the Edomites, Esauites. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, thou shalt not prophesy in the name of the Lord. That's exactly what they want to try to stop. You know, they tried to take down, they did take down our site for a time, and the videos, that's exactly what they tried to do. But now it's all coming back better and more prepared to reach more people. That thou die not by our hand. Yeah, that's the kind of threat that they got against me, exactly that. Be quiet or we'll kill you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no remnant unto them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. This were people that factioned against Jeremiah and wanted to kill him. They were false prophets. And Matt Farah got Psalm 89, 49 through 52. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest unto David in thy faithfulness? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty peoples, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. All of these verses we got by faith at random, and we usually ask the Lord to tell us what to pray about concerning what's coming. So we can see that the Lord answered that perfectly. And Debbie got this, Psalm 89, 17 through 24. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For our shield belongeth unto the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Then thou speakest in vision to thy saints, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil, and I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. You hear that? And I will beat down his adversaries before him, and smite them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my loving kindness shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. And Brandy received this, Psalm 139:17-24. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloodthirsty men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. That's kind of an Old Testament thing, right? We do have enemies, but the enemies are the principalities and powers. That's the ones that we have to come against. They are become mine enemies. Yes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Thank you, Father. Here's one we received four times. And this is Don Laughlin, Isaiah 20:20-25. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And I will clothe him with thy robe. That's the apostate leadership that he's talking about. And strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. So he's taking out the old order leadership and bringing in the new. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. And he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. You know, the stone which the builders rejected became the head of the corner. The head. Yet they hated every man of God all through the scriptures up until today. Yeah. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, every small vessel from the cups even unto all the flagons. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place, that was the apostate leadership, give way. It shall be hewn down and fall. And the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Wow. Yes, the Lord is coming to judge the apostate leadership in the church, the most evil of which is the faction. And Missy got this, Jeremiah 38:14-16. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, who was obviously an apostate leadership over God's people. And Jeremiah here represented the man-child ministry. So then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, thou wilt not, thou not surely put me unto death, wilt thou not surely put me unto death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt not thou hearken unto me? Or thou wilt not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Well, he gave him good advice that would save his life or save the city, and he didn't take it. He didn't have any heart to sacrifice to save the city. If he would have given himself up, he could have saved the city, as Jeremiah told him. But he wouldn't do it. He didn't care. It was him, you know. So, anyway, Merlene got this. Acts 6, 7 through 10. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. People turned from apostasy to life in God, right? And Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. But there arose certain of them that were of the synagogue called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. They were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Amen. They can't do it today either. It makes them look stupid to stand up to any child of God, really. Leon got this, Philippians 1, 27 through 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing be affrighted by the adversaries, which is for them an evident token of perdition. The fact that they are adversaries, meaning, of course, that this is a token of their destruction. Sons of perdition, sons of destruction, right? But of your salvation, in other words, if they're against you, you're right with God. Isn't that something? And that from God, because to you it has been granted in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf. Yeah, because history has to repeat so you can know the characters, right? Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And this is Sue Farah. She got Romans 15, 29 through 33. And I know that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that are disobedient in Judea. Yeah. Thank you, brethren, for praying with me about the same thing, the wicked. And that my ministration, which I have for Jerusalem, may be acceptable to the saints. And that I may come unto you in joy through the will of God, and together with you find rest. Amen. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And Denny got this, Psalm 143, 3 through 12. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in dark places. as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. I spread forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a weary land. Selah. Make haste to answer me, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. In thy righteousness bring my soul out of trouble. And in thy loving kindness cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. And God will do just that. Now, I'll give you something to pray about, and I hope you will pray about it. In fact, we've been concentrating a lot most recently about bringing down the deep state in the government. And but recently they've upticked their railing and slandering against us, mostly me. So we probably need to concentrate a little bit more on the deep state that's in the church and drain the swamp. We're constantly seeing the Lord drain the swamp. Thank you, Father. And this is an interesting one now. It says, we called it, they want to kill the Pope. Well, some people would say, well, have at it. No, that's not what this is about. And Anna Stewart got this one same day, February the 20th, today. And she said, last night I had a strange dream where my nose began to bleed, so I went and sat on the top of the washer and leaned over it so all the blood fell into the wash basin. The washer began to fill with blood from my bloody nose and what I guess was water. There was about 3 inches in the bottom of it. And I asked the Lord why my nose was bleeding, and he replied that it was to get me up and get my attention because I needed to pray for the Pope. Now, Diana has good dreams. She's always had good dreams, so pay attention now. He did not tell me what to pray, but did say something like that he was about to die. Well, let me just say to you, the Pope is in deep trouble from his own Jesuits. They're the enforcement arm of the Catholic Church. They want to kill him. And it's because of all the debaucheries like sacrificing children to Satan, raping them, killing them, trafficking them, etc. And they're trying to cover up their own involvement by killing him because he's drawn a lot of the attention. And it's all in the news. Here's a list of them if you'd like to go there. beforeitsnews.com/contributor/pages/243/593/590/stories.html. And of course, it'll be on the text that you can look at it and go for it. It's a possibility that the Lord wants to keep him alive because of the evidence that he has and is. They probably need him. I mean, the last pope, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the last pope was taken out for the same thing. Yes, but all the evidence is coming out. And this particular page here is totally full of it. You'd be amazed that anybody could call themselves a Christian in this debauchery that these people are into. I know it personally because we've been associated with missionaries in foreign lands who were attacked by the Catholics, and some of their converts to Christianity were attacked by the Catholics and killed. And they tried to kill one person that I know of too, a missionary. So listen, they have never changed their ways. You know, if you read about the Dark Ages, it's still there. It's still there. They have never changed their ways. And if you convert a Muslim to Catholicism, it's still there. They had it in Islam, and they've got it in Catholicism. That is, murder your enemies. So she said, I asked what to pray for the Pope and got 1 Chronicles 26:31. Of the Hebronites was Jerijah, the chief, even the Hebronites, according to their generations by fathers' houses. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought for, and they were found among them mighty men of valor at Jazer of Gilead. Well, we need some mighty men of valor here to go forth and fight for righteousness and purity and truth and to bring down the wicked that claim Christianity. Here's one. And she also got this text, which is, wow, it's awesome. Ezekiel 36:21. But I had regard for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations whither they went. Listen, the Catholics are mostly not Christian, but the world doesn't know that. So they have brought to disrepute real Christianity and the name of Jesus by their evil. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations whither ye went. The Lord's getting the truth out that this is not Christianity. And I will sanctify my great name, which hath been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations. In other words, when he brings down this giant cult and the daughter harlots, as Revelation 17 calls them, that came out of her. Yes. When he brings down and chastens and judges this giant cult, he's going to be sanctified in the eyes of the world. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Oh, praise God. He will bring many out of Catholicism and clean them up with true Christianity. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. And oh boy, there's lots of idols in the Catholic Church. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you for blessing them, Lord, and delivering them in Jesus' name. Come out of her, my people, he said. That's right. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. The real ordinances, not the rules and regulations of a dead church that was made up of so many different religions you just can't imagine. It has nothing to do with Christianity. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Wow. In other words, to the real church fathers, right? The land of the real Christianity. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will save you from all your uncleannesses. Awesome, awesome. And I will call for the grain, and I will multiply it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, that you may receive no more the reproach of famine among the nations. Yes, you know what? There's a starvation for the word of God in these dead churches. Then shall you remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Yes, God is merciful, but he humbles the wicked who call themselves Christians when they're not. And Anna said later in the dream was vague, but there were threats of destruction. And in the end of the dream, there was way less people than it started with. And I thought a bomb had gone off and killed them. Well, that is kind of vague, but there's a couple of things come to my mind. A bomb to destroy evidence in the Vatican, more literal interpretation. And a bomb doesn't have to be a physical bomb. It can be just destruction, you know. Or will they take part in destroying Christianity with their deep state faction because they are aligned with the deep state in the child trafficking? Yes, totally involved. They're one. And they're sacrificing to Satan. They're one with the deep state in the government who also sacrifices to Satan. So the deep state faction in the United States joining with them, since this has been the drive behind these revelations. Who has been the drive behind all these revelations? Well, it's Christianity. That's why the deep state hates them, and that's why the Vatican hates them. They join together to bring down the apostate leadership of Christianity. They can't reach anybody else. So that's who they're going to get. And Anna said, I'm asking for more understanding and praying for the Pope. Well, perhaps the Lord desires him to live, to be evidence, or even to save him. Man, he could be an awesome help if he was just got saved, right? We're not against any man getting saved. Absolutely. God, you're so good. You're so merciful. Thank you so much. Well, Lord, we ask you to protect your people out there from these vindictive, hateful people. Protect your people, Lord. Deliver them from evil, Father. Thank you for giving grace, O Lord. Lord, you've told us who is about to take down this faction spirit that's in the world that is causing such hate. You've told us. It's in your word. We know the man-child is going to be filled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. In such a way, the Lord himself is appearing in them, just as he will come in any of us who humble ourselves to the Word of God and receive of his Spirit. But especially in the first fruit, he's coming. And Isaiah 62:11 says, Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. In other words, Zion, the bride, is in a tight spot with the wicked. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. At a time when the Edomites are attacking the bride, the Lord comes to destroy them. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. His recompense is he's about to tell you about his recompense and who it's against. He's coming to save. He calls it salvation. Thy salvation cometh. He's coming to save Zion, which is the bride, which escaped, in this case, the wicked. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. All right. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, which means the sheepfold? The sheepfold of the Edomites, or the Esau's, right? This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, in thy garments like him that treadeth out the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I tread them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath. He's talking about the Edomites now. And their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Who did he redeem? Well, in this case, you can see from the text, he redeemed Zion out of the hand of the Edomites. That's Esau's seed. Esau sold his birthright because of his bitterness, a root of bitterness, Paul said, against his brother. Sold his birthright. That's a reprobation, any way you look at it. I'm going to go down to verse 11 and read that to you. It says, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Oh, the Red Sea. It seems like he's applying this to the Red Sea. Well, we can see that the Edomites in the government, the deep state, are going down in the Red Sea, are they not? And there's a parallel between that and the church. And there are people that are becoming more and more vicious and more reprobate as we speak. The last teaching I shared with you, you know, it was concerning them losing the battle and losing their life. And we're not talking about just their physical life, but we're talking about eternal life. Multitudes of people are going to be rejected as they were when Jesus started his ministry. People that were his people in the Old Testament were rejected. Told his disciples, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it is not given. The Lord didn't even try to reveal to them the secrets of salvation. And so they fell away and did not ever understand. They all were used as vessels of dishonor. Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Oh, glory God. Thank you, Father. That caused his glorious arm, his arm of the Lord, right? Jesus, to go at the right hand of Moses. There's Jesus at the right hand of the man child, right? That divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name. The Lord is going to be known by what he does this time with the faction. He's going to be known. And they're going to make him known throughout the nations. He led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness, so that they stumbled not. And as the cattle that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused them to rest. So didst thou lead them, thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. And then, 64:1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence. Mountains are kingdoms. Did you notice the kingdoms shaking out there? Overthrow the throne of kingdoms is what the man-child is going to do, according to Scripture, especially in Haggai. Overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Is it happening? Uh-huh. It's happening by prayer and faith. As when the fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Oh, this is one of the texts that we just got through reading, a visitation of the Lord. He's coming. Now, I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to see him, but he's still coming. And he is going to wreak havoc. He is going to take care of this himself. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, and the mountains quaked at thy presence. And from of old men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. Wait on the Lord, right? He's got all the answers, all the power. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou wast wroth, and we sinned. In them have we been of a long time. Yes, there's a great falling away of Christianity. And shall we be saved? For we are all become as one that is unclean, and all our righteousness are as a polluted garment, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, taketh us away. Well, true, there's a great falling away in Christianity. And, of course, this is why God is going to come and bring a correction that people will see and understand and see that the wicked do not escape God's judgment. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us by means of our iniquities. And he says twice in here who he's talking about, if you think it's just the Jews, if you go back to 63:16, for thou art our father, though Abraham knoweth us not, and Israel doth not acknowledge us. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, from everlasting is thy name. So he's talking about, of course, the church. And in 65, he says the same thing. I'm inquired of by them that ask not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. And I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in the gardens. So the people of God today followed in the steps of the people of God in the Old Testament. There was a great falling away. Judgment has to bring correction. Captivity has to come, because in the Old Testament, the types and shadows brought them into captivity whenever they fell away from the Lord and disobeyed His word. And here we are again. We're just repeating history, right? But there is a righteous people that are going to be spared and saved, and we called them, we saw in the text here, Zion was these people. They're going to be spared and saved. And, of course, the Lord always answers our prayers, and when we hold fast to the words of the promise and we put our trust in Him, He will take care of those that are His and those that are His by faith, even in the minds and hearts of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives, you know, for their lost loved ones. So, Father, we trust You. We put our faith in You. We trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us, saints. Brother Michael's going to come and share with you, and God bless you and keep you. Please do some warfare against the enemy. God will reward you. Thank you, Father, for the victory. In Jesus' name. Lord, we can't lose. We can't lose. Oh, we just praise You. We thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night, y'all.